Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So there's several verses without purports, which I will read, and then we'll chant the Sanskrit to text 60. So this is text 56, the translation. One should distribute Vishnu Prasad to everyone, including the poor man, the blind man, the non-devotee, and the non-brahmana. Knowing that Lord Vishnu is very pleased when everyone is sumptuously fed with Vishnu Prasad, the performer of yajna should then take prasad with his friends and relatives. Text 57. Every day from the Patipat to Trayodashi, one should continue the ceremony to the accompaniment of dancing, singing, and beating of a drum, the chanting of prayers and all auspicious mantras, and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 58. This is the religious ritualistic ceremony known as Payovrata, by which one may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I received this information from Brahma, my godfather, or grandfather, and now I have described it to you in all details. Text 59. O most fortunate lady, establishing your mind in a good spirit, execute this process of priyavrata and thus worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, who is inexhaustible. And text 60, please repeat. Aham vai sarva yajna kya. Sarva vratam iti sritam. Tapasaram idam padre. Danam chish. Cheshvaram tarpanam. I am this vai indeed sarvayajna. All kinds of religious rituals and sacrifices. Akhya called Sarva Vratam, all religious ceremonies. Iti, thus. Smritam, understood. Tapasaram, the essence of all austerities. Idam, this, Bhadre, O good lady, Danam, acts of charity, Cha, and Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tarpanam, the process of pleasing. Translation. This Payovrata is also known as Sarva Yajna. In other words, by performing this sacrifice, one can perform all other sacrifices automatically. This is also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies. Oh, gentle lady, it is the essence of all austerities, and it is the process of giving charity and pleasing the Supreme Controller. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. This is a statement made by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Worshipping Lord Vishnu is the supreme process of worship. And how Lord Vishnu is worshipped in his Prayovrata ceremony has now been fully described. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu by Varnashram Dharma, the Vedic principle of four varnas and four ashrams are meant for worship of Vishnu. Vishnur aradyate pumsam nanyatat dosha karanam. The Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu aradhanam, or worship of Lord Vishnu, according to the age. The Payovrata method of Vishnu Aradhanam was enunciated long ago by Kashyapa Muni to his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets, and the same process is bona fide on earth even now. Especially for this age of Kali, the process accepted by the Krishna consciousness movement is to open hundreds and thousands of Vishnu temples, temples of Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Balaram, Sitaram, Gornitai, and so on. Performing prescribed worship in such temples of Vishnu, and thus worshipping the Lord, is as good as performing the Payovrata ceremony recommended here. The Payovrata ceremony is performed from the 1st to the 13th day of the bright fortnight of the moon. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in every temple according to a schedule of 24 hours of engagement in performing kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, offering palatable food to Lord Vishnu, and distributing this food to Vaishnavas and others. These are authorized activities, and if the members of the Krishna consciousness movement stick to those principles, they will achieve the same result one gains by observing the Payovrata ceremony. Thus, the essence of all auspicious activities, such as performing yajna, giving in charity, observing vratas, and undergoing austerities, is included in the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of this movement should immediately and sincerely follow the process is already recommended. Of course, sacrifice is meant to please Lord Vishnu. Yajnai Sankirtan Prayer Yajanti Isu Medasa. In Kali Yuga, those who are intelligent perform the Sankirtan Yajna. One should follow this process conscientiously. Om Agyatmanandasya Ninandina Salakaya Chaksuram Vitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutave Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Manchakalpatubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitananam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So in today's verse, we are informed of the importance giving in charity, performing austerities, different ceremonies, and what else was it? Opening up the temples and worshipping Lord Vishnu in all these different ways. And it's mentioned specifically here, the Ratul ceremony, which was performed many hundreds of years ago, and specifically mentioned here in the heavenly planets. And that Prabhupada mentions that this same process for purification is also, it also exists today. Well, there is no difference between the teachings that were taught hundreds and thousands of years ago to the teachings which are being presented to us today. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita was first spoken by Lord Krishna to the sun god. That was 120 million years ago. So who can actually hold up a book and say the contents of this book is 120 million years old? No one except the devotees of Krishna. And the process has been given by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the same process which is mentioned here, that one must worship Vishnu. If we don't worship Vishnu, then there is so much bondage within this world. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that the process, although the same, is also a little different. And the difference is, well, there's some differences at least that are mentioned in the purport. The rata that is mentioned is something which is performed once in a year. The Sankirtan movement is something which Prabhupada points out is something which is a process which continues throughout the year every single day, and in fact, he says 24 hours a day. I could never actually understand what Prabhupada meant in those early days when he would give class, and I mentioned this point that we are serving Krishna 24 hours a day, or you must serve Krishna 24 hours a day. And of course, later on, I understood what that actually meant, serving Krishna 24 hours a day. And what it meant was that, Prabhupada meant was that we should serve Krishna throughout the day so sincerely, so enthusiastically, so with so much dedication, that by the end of the day we're so tired that we take some rest. And that resting itself is also devotional service. Because without resting the body, we cannot do our service the next day. So it's a wonderful process that Prabhupada has given us, this yajna of the Sankirtan movement. And there's another thing which caught my attention about the differences between these sacrifices. The sacrifice mentioned in this verse is for one's personal endeavor and one's personal achievement. Whereas the Sankirtan Yajna is not just for ourselves, but it is for everyone. In fact, by distributing Krishna consciousness, we automatically become purified. We automatically perform ritualistic sacrifices, perform austerities, and worship the deity. The highest worship of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai is to go out and give someone Krishna consciousness. So it's a simultaneous working on ourself, the purificatory process of working on ourself, and at the same time giving Krishna consciousness to others. And if you really think about it, this is quite dynamic. What would we do if we didn't have this dynamic process of not just delivering ourselves, but delivering others? Sometimes I'm thinking, well, if all the world was Krishna conscious, what would I do all day long? I certainly couldn't sit and read any books and chant Hare Krishna. That's not in my capacity. So, therefore, we should be very grateful to the fact that alongside with this purificatory process of helping ourselves, we can also help others. And why do we need to help others? Well, I don't think I need to go into so much detail. The world is in such a mess. It's so crazy. Kali Yuga is almost like accelerating every day. And the situation gets worse and worse and worse. Our leaders, so-called leaders, become more and more confused and out of control. They're not able to deliver anything. They're not able to make any impact which is of any relevance to anyone. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we're not going to wait for the leaders to make peace in this world. We have seen clearly how there's been no change. In fact, well, there has been change. Everything is still getting worse. So this is why Prabhupada said that we need to spread Krishna consciousness, because there's an imbalance within the world. and Krishna consciousness will rectify that imbalance. I want to share with you this morning a couple of songs. These are actually reggae songs which were written by a devotee band back in the early 80s. So there are two songs here. One song is the epitome of the materialistic society and what they do. The other song is especially for the devotees about the Sankirtan movement. So do you mind if I share this with you? Say Hari Bol. So this first song is called Vile Society. They're trying to hang their hat where their hand can't reach. And those who don't know nothing, they're trying to teach. Their hearts are hard like stone, yet they pretend to weep. And those who don't sow nothing, they're trying to reap. They kill their children before they're born, and they kill an elephant just to get the horn. They don't care anymore what they eat. They will kill their mother just to get the meat. They're intoxicating themselves to death, and smoke and fire has become their breath. The brain is now like a gaping hole, and they don't know nothing about the spirit soul. Now the air is nothing but factory smoke, yet everybody is going broke. The school is just like a slaughterhouse where they love to read about Mickey Mouse. And the women all want to be the men, and the men can only remember when. The children leave when they learn to walk, and with obscene language they learn to talk. History repeats itself, they say, and there is an end to the longest day. So don't feel bad when the axe comes down, because you wouldn't know if to smile or frown. No matter what you may say or do, you can only get what's coming to you. And the only way you can change your fate is by going back to our spiritual state. So when you see that thing start smoking, you know the fire ain't far behind. There won't be time for turning back when the big wheel starts to grind. For when the human being starts sinking and the standard gets too low, such a violent society ain't got long to go. Haribo. Such a powerful song. And as I said, it makes a clear analysis of life in the 21st century. And we have to challenge that with the Sankirtan activities which Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda has given us. So this is the second song. This is our song. This is the song that inspires us to perform the Sankirtan Yajna. And in fact, I would like to ask if it's possible you can join in with the chorus of this song. Is that okay? Which means, well, maybe not. What do you think? OK, Okay, say after me. I'm only going to say the chorus twice, and by that time you should know it, and you'll be repeating it after every verse. Okay? Okay? Come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. But you'll never be the same. It's quite simple, right? This is the age. You don't have to say this. This is the age. It's the iron age. Everyone's living on an iron wage. Gone are the days of silver and gold. If you live till 20, you'll be very old. So, come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. But you'll never be the same. Now listen to what the good book said. Just try and make it out while you're still ahead. You don't have too much time to waste if you really want to get that higher taste. So, come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. You'll never be the same. Everybody here can play a part, and you'll feel that power within your heart. You don't have to bother what people think, because they really don't care if you swim or sink. So, perfect. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose, so I really don't see how you can refuse. There's nothing to pay, it doesn't cost you a cent, and you wouldn't even see which way your trouble went. So, that name is going to enter every single home because it's even sweeter than honeycomb. It's got more power than an atom bomb because Goloka is the place where it's coming from. Hari Hari Bom. So we have joined the congregation. However, are we just thinking of ourselves? Prabhupada's mood was a revolutionary mood. He would say things like, if you're not preaching, you're not bothering anyone. Preaching means to bother someone. And if you're not preaching, that means you're sleeping. These are kind of quotes from those days. They were very, very pushy quotes that shook us. And after prasadam, we were out the door. I remember the first time I went on Harinam, it was just after I got shaved. You have to understand, my hair was down here, I had a beard, mustache, I was completely covered by all this hair. Suddenly I'm naked. and I'm on the street, Oxford Street in London, chanting Hare Krishna with the devotees. And at one point, the Harinam stopped so that people could form a circle around us. And I immediately was thinking, everyone's looking at me. I was so self-conscious. And I was looking at the watch, you know, what time are we going back to the temple? It was so, it was just like being completely exposed to the mass of false ego within the head. And you could literally see the false ego rising above the head and entering into the ether. With, you know, feeling so embarrassed. The second time was a little better. The third time, no problem. The fourth time, let you go. So that's what the power of the holy name can do. Just within days, you transform from someone in the mode of ignorance and passion to rising to the goodness. It is so powerful. So, somehow we've got to capture that mood. If it's already there within you, that's great. But from what I've noticed is that in many, that mood is not there. Like in London today, if every single devotee went on Harinam, even just once a month, it would make a major impact to that city. The foundation will start rocking. But the fact is, not everyone who's a devotee in London or in England is going on Harinam every day. For whatever reason. But we haven't just joined the Hare Krishna movement for ourselves, for our own salvation, liberation, perfection. This is mentioned also by Prahlad Maharaj in a very nice verse in the seventh canto. He's praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are not interested only in their, but they are only interested in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. So this is Prahlad Maharaj showing us an example of what it means to be a good devotee. A devotee who's got compassion for others. A devotee who's willing to make that effort to reach out to others and help them in their spiritual life. In fact, one time devotees were speculating about who Prabhupada was in the spiritual world. They were asking Prabhupada, are you Narada Muni? Are you this person? Are you that person? And when it came to Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't say anything, but he had a big smile on his face. Whether he is Prahlad Maharaj or not, he certainly captured the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. And this is illustrated in his offering to Bhakti Siddhanta. It was here in Vrindavan when, 1961, when the God brothers came together to celebrate Bhakti Siddhanta's Vyasa Puja. Among the God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, of course, Prabhupada was a junior sannyasi, but his offering was so pointy, pushy, it was like an explosion in the lap of his God brothers. And this is his offering. And you'll see how it compares to the same as that verse I just read by Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada said, "Even now, my God brothers, you return here on the order of your master, our master, and today we engage in this puja. But simply a festival of flowers and fruits does not constitute worship. The one who serves the message of the Guru really worships him. Oh, shame, my dear brothers. Aren't you embarrassed? In the manner of businessmen, you increase your disciples. Our master said, preach. Let the neophytes remain inside the temple and simply ring the bells. Take a good look at the terrible situation that has arisen. Everyone has become a sense enjoyer and has given up the preaching. From the seas across the earth, penetrate the universal shell. Come together and preach this Krishna consciousness. Then our master's service will be in proper order. Make your promise today. Give up all your politics and diplomacy. When will that day come when a temple will be established in every house, in every corner of the world? When will the high court judge be a Gaudiya Vaishnava with tilak beautifully decorating his forehead? When will a Vaishnava winning votes be elected president of the land and preaching be spread everywhere?" So this was Prabhupada's mood. If there's no preaching, there's no life. One time, here in Vrindavan, actually in the early days, at that time we only had the foundation of Krishna Balaram temple. Only the foundation was laid. And we were living in Fogal Ashram, and just doing whatever service we could here. And at that time, a devotee was presented to Srila Prabhupada as being the first devotee who had memorized the Bhagavad Gita. And so naturally, they wanted to produce him to Srila Prabhupada. "Prabhupada, this is such and such devotee. He is the first of your disciples who has memorized the Bhagavad Gita." I wasn't personally there, but I heard that Prabhupada didn't even look at him. But instead he said, "Well, make sure that he engages in some service while here in Vrindavan." Prabhupada was not impressed by an intellectual gymnastic performance. Well, with nothing against learning Bhagavad Gita verses, but alongside learning Bhagavad Gita verses, we should do some service. some devotional service. Another devotee asked Prabhupada, can you give me the blessings to chant 64 rounds in Radha Kund? Prabhupada said, no, I'm not giving you the blessings for that, because there are already so many monkeys there. And another devotee again asked Prabhupada, well, he didn't ask him, he informed Prabhupada, Prabhupada, today I chanted 64 rounds. And Prabhupada's reply, then what did you do? Then what did you do? So this is a clear, very clear indication that all this me, and my deliverance is actually not what Prabhupada wanted. It's similar to the non-devotees who are so much engaged in their body. Body, 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 body. It's their mantra. Body, 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 body. My body, my body, 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 body. More body, more body, 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 body. It's like, what? Maya is so clever that she's got everyone involved in their body, body, body. And more body, and more body, 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 body. You know, for us older devotees, we never had all these gadgets and gadgets. It was so simple. Everything was so simple. Even here in Vrindavan, you could practically chant your 16 rounds walking from Krishna Balaram to Loi Bazaar if you wanted to. Because on the roadside there was just some bullock carts and some scooter rickshaws. You try doing that today. I was down there yesterday. I was like, how worse can it get? So everything today has become so complicated. And it's getting more and more and more complicated. And people are getting more and more and more frustrated. The only solace, the only means by which a tide can turn now is the Sankirtan movement. There is no other process that's going to work. Even we wonder, how is it going to work? How is it going to change? How is the impact of the Sankirtan movement going to change the face of the world so much that, as Prabhupada would say, it will go down in the history books that in its darkest hour, this Krishna consciousness will save the world. It's inconceivable. Well, everything Krishna does is inconceivable. We saw how Prabhupada did the inconceivable. He is our living example. He said there's nothing that's impossible. That was one of his favorite quotes. Impossible is a word only in a fool's dictionary. He said, my guru Maharaj, he said he had a chopping technique. He would smash the caste Brahmins and the Mayavadis. He said, my technique is that there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. I will accomplish the impossible by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And that's what he did. It is inconceivable what he did. And it's inconceivable what he's still doing. So we can understand that this prediction that Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtana will spread throughout the world and will inundate the world and will transform the world and will make everyone happy and peaceful. It's going to happen anyway, whether we have something to do with it or not. But let us get the benefit for it. It's like the temple in Mayapur. It's going to be built anyway, whether we help or we don't. It's already predicted that it's already there because of the prediction. But do we want to get the credit? This is the question we're asking here this morning. There's a nice story which illustrates the difference between someone who is active and someone who's a bystander, just on the side watching. And there was a poet writer. Every day he wrote about worldly events. But before going to his studio, he would take a walk along the seafront. One morning as he came onto the beach, he saw in the distance someone who was dancing. He was intrigued. Oh, who is this person dancing the day away? Let me go and see. But as he came closer, he noticed this person wasn't dancing. He was picking something up and throwing out into the ocean. He called out, "What are you doing?" The man stopped and turned and said, "What do you think I'm doing? I'm picking up starfish. What does it look like? I'm picking up starfish and throwing out into the ocean." So the man, the poet writer, asked, "Well, why are you doing it?" He said, "Because the sun is rising and the tide is going out, and if I don't pick these starfish up and throw out into the ocean, they will die." And the poet writer said, "But this beach goes for miles and there is hundreds and thousands of starfish. How can you make a difference?" And he picked up one starfish and he threw it beyond the waves. And he said, "It made a difference for that one." The poet writer usually he had a lot to say, but this surprised him. And he went back to his studio to try to write. All day he tried to write something, but he was constantly reminded of this person that he had met in the morning on the beach. By the end of the day, he made a conclusion. What was that conclusion? "This person I met this morning, he's different than others. Most people in the world, they let the world go on. They're spectators. They just watch the world get worse. It's just like someone who's in an auditorium, sitting down waiting for a performance. They're spectators. But it's the performers on the stage that make the difference for the evening." This is the example of the Sankirtan movement. We're not spectators anymore. We've finished waiting for some change to be made to this world. It is obvious there will be no change. Therefore, we're not going to be spectators anymore. We want to make a difference by helping, assisting Sri Sri Gaur Nittai in the Sankirtan movement. This is our offering to Srila Prabhupada. This is our real offering, not these flowers and bells. Flowers and bells are okay, but what's better than flowers and bells is to get up and go out, extend yourself to others, help others become Krishna conscious. Often nowadays I get letters, emails, "Dear Maharaj, poor, poor me. I have this problem, I have that problem, I have this problem, that problem." I write back, "Dear such and such, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm so happy to hear you're having problems. Because if you were not having problems, I would be very concerned for you." It's the difficulties in Krishna consciousness that make us strong. Prabhupada said we should voluntarily accept some austerity, some inconvenience for the Lord. Then we will be happy. There was a butterfly trying to get out of its cocoon. The caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's got to get out of a cocoon. One man was watching this butterfly pushing. And at one point the butterfly stopped pushing. So he was thinking, "Oh, he cannot get out. Let me help him." He got a pair of scissors and he cut the cocoon and waited for the butterfly to fly away. But the butterfly did not fly away. Instead, it just dropped onto the ground and remained an invalid for the rest of its life. The man was thinking he was doing some good service. But it was a disservice because the butterfly, that pushing within the cocoon was nature's arrangement that by the pushing, certain liquids would enter into its wings to make the wings strong. And by the time it got out, they would be strong enough for it to fly. There's supposed to be inconveniences in our life as a devotee. As they say, we should blissfully suffer. Well, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. You're either blissful or you suffer. But no, Krishna consciousness is transcendental. You can suffer and be blissful at the same time. It's so wonderful. It's like the Sri Upanishad where it says Krishna walks but he doesn't walk. Well, either he walks or he doesn't walk. No, Krishna walks, but he doesn't walk. These are inconceivable experiences that we all have when we really go deep and dive right into the holy name and all the other services that we're doing. After 1 year of chanting Hare Krishna, I suddenly got this mystic power. You want to know what the mystic power was? I was thinking, wow, this mantra is really powerful. Then after 2 years, my other ear started moving. And then after a little longer time, both ears started dancing. And I was thinking, wow. But I cannot keep this for myself. That's what the yogis do. They get mystic powers. Bhaktisiddhanta gave the example of a yogi who had mystic power of elongating his arm. And one day he elongated it across the Ganges to a fire that was lit. He wanted to light his chillum, so he elongated his arm to light his chillum. And Bhaktisiddhanta made this. He said, if you churn yogurt, you get butter. If you churn whitewash, whitewash is like the undercoat when you paint a room. If you churn whitewash, you don't get anything. So he gave this example. If you use your mystic powers for yourself, you don't gain any benefit. But if you use it in Krishna's service, wow, that's something. So I was thinking, how can I use this in Krishna's service? I came up with a really good idea. You want to know it? Well, I work with children a lot, you know. And Prabhupada said that when you're presenting Krishna consciousness to children, you need to do it in a fun way. Because they're children, they want to have fun alongside with practicing Krishna consciousness. So he also said you should show them some magic. So what I usually do is I show a little bit of magic, and then I say, okay, now we're going to have a little kirtan. And during this kirtan, I want you to watch my ears, because my ears are very sensitive, and when they hear children singing, they start dancing. So they're intrigued, and they start singing along with me, and they're watching my ears. But my ears are not moving. So then they chant louder, and they're still not moving. And then they go louder and louder. And at some point, when I feel satisfied with the enthusiasm they're having with the chanting, then I start moving my ears. So this is an example of how everything should be used. First of all, what the benefits you get by performing these activities. The fact that we got the gift in the first place, that's wonderful in itself. We're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he's given us this wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness and all these activities. And then after practicing, we get all this spiritual strength and power that is inconceivable. And then using that strength and that power back in the service of Krishna to make a difference to the world, to make a difference for ourselves and make a difference to the world. This is the revolution, the revolutionary situation we're in. Be part of that revolution. Don't be in a comfortable position. Always be somewhere where, yeah, sometimes devotees ask, so what's your secret? You've been a devotee for 46 years, what's your secret? And when I think about it, there's two things that come to mind. One, I've always preached. Even as a grihastha, I remember at one point I said to my former wife, we're going to stop preaching for 1 year and see what the difference is. We lasted 2 weeks. It was so boring. So boring. I was doing all the things that you're supposed to do, but I was not preaching. And I found it so boring. So we got back into the preaching. So I've always preached. And number two, do you want to know number two? I'm not telling you. Number two, I've always preached in difficult situations. They sent me to Scandinavia, right in those early days, distributing books in Sweden. Didn't even know the language, 20 below zero. Some days I was on the street thinking, are you crazy? But I kept on anyway. 15 years I was in Sweden, 7 years in Finland. If you can make a devotee in Finland, you can make a devotee anywhere. Helsinki, the capital, Helsinki. Nowadays, everywhere is difficult. So you don't have to go anywhere. Stay where you are. Even in Vrindavan, it's become very difficult. But the preaching is going full swing. I've been watching the visitors coming to this temple and how enthusiastic they are. And that is only because the momentum, the desire and momentum, and the main thrust of this temple is to give Krishna consciousness to others. So, make a difference for yourself, make a difference for everyone else. Now you have joined the congregation of the Holy Name, distributed profusely. Prabhupada said, you have to rack your brain and think how to spread this movement. In the early days, we only had some, we had books, we had prasad, limited resources. We didn't even have so many books. But nowadays, the resource is unlimited. It's unlimited ways we can spread Krishna consciousness. So let's get out there and do it. And make a, if you want to make an impact, this world is very popular today. I got to make an impact. I want to make an impact. If you really want to make an impact, go out and preach. Give Krishna consciousness to all those fallen souls who are bound up in the meshes of material energy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.